afternoon. All right. Good afternoon. This is Stephanie Bowman, Northwest Seaport Alliance co-chair, calling to order the special meeting of the Northwest Seaport Alliance managing members on November 12th, 2019. The time is 2:05. We're meeting today at the Conference Center at SeaTac International Airport. Present with me today are Commissioner Steinbrück, McCarthy, Fellman, Petrich, Johnson, Calkins, Gregoire, and Marzano. Do we have Commissioner Meyer is joining us by phone? Excellent.
Yes.
Hi, welcome. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So now we'll turn it over to our CEO, John Wolfe, for a report.
All right. Thank you, Chair Bowman. Today we're here to present the 2020 Northwest Seaport Alliance operating budget and five-year capital plan. And I wanted to share some high points about the budget before I turn it over to David. And to begin with, many of you have emphasized the importance of calling out the goals of the Seaport Alliance, and they are, you can find those, the public can find those in our budget document. I want to highlight those goals for us again. The first is to maintain existing assets in order to preserve contractual income streams, followed by continue to make investments in strategic assets in order to generate new forms of income, increase cargo volumes, and associated job growth. And good examples of that would be the Husky Terminal in Tacoma and the more recent decision you all made to reinvest in Terminal 5. And there are many, many other strategic investments that we are making in the within the Gateway. The third goal is to improve the efficiency and cost competitiveness of the supply chain, and we do that primarily through our operations center, yet we also work with our key strategic partners, our labor partners, the steamship lines, the railroads, just to name a few. Advance the Northwest Seaport Alliance market position within the industry through effective marketing and targeted business development strategies, and we've talked quite a bit about this. We'll be talking more about it in our upcoming retreat. A good example of this would be where we're reaching out directly to the beneficial cargo owners and trying to establish a stronger relationship with them within our gateway and some of the investments they might make here. And then the last goal is to ensure both financial and environmental sustainability through a balanced portfolio of business and innovative solutions to address the environment. So again, we all know that we need to grow the business in a financially and environmentally sustainable manner, and I think today's budget will give you greater confidence that we're on the right track there. So also, I've heard from many of you in reference to it's great to have goals, yet it's also important to have measurements against those goals. And so, as a reminder, when we established the Northwest Seaport Alliance, we worked with the managing members to establish those key metrics of success. And those are shown up here on the screen. Commissioner Meyer, they are also in, I believe, in your packet, but let me run through those for you and the public. We have on our scorecard cargo volumes, and we recognize that container cargo is the primary cargo of moving through the gateway, yet we do have a diversified business portfolio with domestic container business, break bulk cargo, and autos and break bulk volumes as well moving through the gateway. The next key metric is job creation. It's a difficult one for us to measure because there are direct jobs and indirect jobs. So the best way that we thought we could measure that was to measure the longshore hours on an annualized basis year over year. And we know that there is a positive effect on the indirect jobs associated with those direct jobs. The next metric is financial performance. We share that with you and the public on a monthly basis against our budget. And again, we're having another strong year this year related to, as compared to the budget. And then, and last yet not any less important is the environmental stewardship. We know that for us to continue to grow the business activities through this gateway, we need to do that in an environmentally sustainable manner. And the community, both in the Seattle Harbor, Tacoma Harbor, and really statewide, depends on us to take care of the environment as we grow our business. So that is a key metric as well. And we measure that through primarily through two areas, water quality and air quality. And you can see the metrics there. So walk through the goals, highlighted the key metrics associated with those goals. And that is the basis by which we form our budget and make strategic recommendations on which projects and investments we should move forward with within the gateway to advance those key metrics. So some key messages here. Staff is here again today to present a solid 2020 operating budget and five-year capital improvement plan. The operating budget is similar to what you saw in 2019 in terms of total number and distributable cash. And I want to emphasize that staff is committed to doing our best to outperform the budget on an annualized basis. So that's true both with the operating budget as well as scrutinizing those projects in the CIP and making sure that when we do bring those forward that they are really advancing the goals and metrics that I ran through here today. So just because we have a five-year CIP with many projects listed throughout the 5 years, for any project above $300,000, those projects do come back to you as managing members for approval. So I also want to emphasize something that is important to the home ports, and I've heard this most recently even from Commissioner McCarthy when we were visiting over the weekend, and he had a great suggestion, and that is that for us to maximize the value back to the home ports in terms of operating income and distributable cash, along with making sure that we spend only what we need from the home ports and nothing more, because you have competing interests with the home port projects, and we recognize that, that we do a regular check-in with you throughout the year. And we have done that in the past, but it's probably not been as structured as what we could do. We do have the monthly reports that are provided to you for the financial performance, yet what we're talking about and what was suggested was that we have maybe a spring preview that talks about how we're performing against the budget, both the operating budget as well as our capital program. And that what that will allow you all to see is any variances as respects to the budget. So that, let's say positively, we're outperforming the budget and we have a forecast for the balance of the year that's going to contribute even more distributable cash back to the home port. It's good for you all to know that early on so that you can plan accordingly with your home port budgets. As well, let's say that things change and sometime maybe between first quarter and mid-year, we recognize that there are some projects that were approved in this five-year CIP that are no longer relevant, or maybe there's another project that has emerged, that we can call that out early on in the year and highlight that so that, again, it's opportunity for the home ports as our banks, so to speak, and funding these projects to make adjustments, either to recognize that there will be more cash at the end of the year, or alternatively, there's a new emerging project of importance that might take some additional cash, and how we make adjustments to the home ports to reflect that. So our commitment to you, I thought it was a great suggestion, our commitment to you is to follow along that process. So we'll probably start looking at that the end of first quarter of next year, because we start to see a trend about the end of March, early April timeframe, and I think that would be an opportune time for us to come back to you and share in more detail any early variances that we see in either the operating budget and performance against that or the capital program. So expect that in the coming year. And with that, I'm pleased to hand this over to David Morrison. And David has done just, as you know, a fabulous job in putting together the budget, along with a team of folks, Aaron Galino's here, and many others on the finance team that have worked tireless hours to get to where we are today. I'm proud of where we are with the budget. I feel like it's a solid budget, and I feel like, again, we're in a position where no guarantees, but we will do our very best to outperform what you see here today in the coming year. So with that,
Before we turn it over, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have anybody signed up for public comments. Okay. All right.
Great.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you for the introduction, John. So we made a few small changes that I had planned to make before last Tuesday's meeting. No real significant material impact. Some timing on T-46 substation. We had $500,000 in 1 year and $125,000. We just a timing switch there. We made some minor changes I talked about on the meeting on Tuesday the 5th. The Port of Tacoma's IT and HR allocations went down slightly, totaling about $250,000, which is about 1% of the total allocations, so a minor change. We had timing changes for some site improvements at T-104, went from 2023 out to 2025, and 2025 is beyond the five-year scope of this five-year budget, so minor change. And we did find a double count on the membership for the Northwest Marine Terminal Association. It should have been 6,000, not 12,000. So we've made those changes in the final numbers. So I'm here. There's really three things that I need to do according to the charter. I'm here to review the 2020 Northwest Seaport Alliance operating budget. I'm here to review the 2020 through 2024 Northwest Seaport Alliance capital investment plan, and then recommend approval of the operating budget, including memberships over $10,000 and promotional hosting amounts, the 2020 through 2024 capital investment plan, and then ask for approval for lease cash distribution authorization. That's part of our friend GASB 87 that we've talked about twice, to make sure that we can distribute that cash, which no longer meets the charter definition of distributable cash, now that it's changed, but before GASB 87, it did. So it's just, we can't change the charter right now. We'll have to do that at the next revision, but I want permission to be able to distribute the cash back to the two home ports. This is a slide basically you've seen before. I wasn't going to go into great detail other than we have incorporated those small changes that I've talked about. You'll notice total operating revenue is about $200 million is our forecast, going to $150 million in 2020. That's driven by GASB 87. We've moved about $48 million from this line all the way down to that line. Okay, so it's adopting the new Government Accounting Standard Board requirements, and so that's why you see a drop in revenue. It does not impact net income. We spent a lot of time at our budget study session and then again last Tuesday going over these categories. I think an important thing, if I drop down to the numbers, is when we did the 2019 budget, we thought we would distribute cash of about $104 million, so $52 million to each home port. Despite the drop in revenue from T-46 and the contract that was made when we approved T-5, despite changes to the East Sitcom lease, which is another $4 million we talked about, and including the new one-time costs in the 2020 budget, which were not in the 2019 budget, those associated with the T5 public expenses, such as the quiet zone and new power for T5, and the removal of two cranes at Husky, we're proposing a budget that provides almost just a little bit more distributable cash than 2019. So we've overcome some hurdles, and we're budgeting, again, $52 million of distributable cash to the home ports. And just so you know, we are exceeding bond income. The bond income requirement is currently $90 million. We're at $103.4 million.
David, can you remind me, just looking at the administration line here, you know, I see a trend that we budgeted significantly more than, let's go with 3.2, let's be precise, then we actually are going to forecast coming in at 2019. Now we're budgeting again, upwards again.
Yep.
Help me reconcile why that's the right
Perfect. I will do that. So the reasons that the BARS, the budgeting, accounting, and reporting system, BARS, is increasing. So what we've done is some of the allocation from Northwest Seaport Alliance back to the Port of Tacoma has been reduced because we are no longer allocating John's payroll back to the Port of Tacoma, nor the new Northwest Seaport Alliance legal position back to the Port of Tacoma. That's a small portion. Really what it has been is that we are we budgeted technology projects in 2019, but due to lack of staff, both in the technology world and a focus of other projects on other departments, we haven't done those technology projects. Those are being rebudgeted in 2020. Those projects include Mobile Maximo for our maintenance team to be more efficient, being able to do work on site rather than going back necessarily to the maintenance shop to do work. The break bulk pre-announcement notification is another system that's being introduced that will improve efficiency at the break bulk and reduce congestion at our EB1 terminal. We have IT service desk software. We have NIM rail technology optimization and a new break bulk tariff billing system. We have an old system for break bulk billing, which I think is DOS. I think there's like four people in the world who know how to do it. And when they die, we do not have that system. And it's been on the hook to be replaced many years, and we've managed and pushed and pushed. But at some point, that old system is going to have to be replaced. Okay, so it's really technology projects. One other thing, we did move some costs from operations. So last year, the big push for clean trucks, excuse me, we put RFID monitoring systems in all the international container terminals. That software was originally budgeted in operations. Now that it's an active system, it's moving down to the information technology team. So it's about $300,000 moving from operations down to administration. So that's why the increase there.
Very helpful. I'm walking away. Thank you.
Any other questions? We covered some of those last time, but I wanted to limit the presentation, but I'm happy to go back if anyone has any other questions. Okay. So this is some of my highlights, just summarizing for any citizens watching and again for you, but a revenue is essentially flat despite changes to leases at T46 and East Sitcom. So even though you saw that $50 million drop, because of GASB 87, if I brought that money back, we're essentially flat in revenue. Project spending on top of ongoing maintenance to fix or repair existing assets for a total of $9.4 million. Well, we've had the T46 Tiger Grant funded paving, and it's $4 million in the budget. We've got a $2 million crane removal at Husky. There's just the ongoing maintenance one time that we've talked about. The Husky is in operating expense. I'm sorry. But ongoing repair of existing assets. Big part of it is paving. We incorporate significant one-time expenses. Removal of two cranes for $2 million at Husky. The T5 related public expenses, which I've already mentioned, totaling $6 million. We have clean air and clean water, and I put stormwater in parentheses, spending totaling $2.3 million, and we have your facilities plan for about $500,000. So that's a strategic one-time plan that you plan to produce in 2020. So as I mentioned, this provides each home port with $52.3 million of distributable cash and lease interest cash. Sorry about that. That's a typo. In terms of membership, I mentioned we found one double count, and you have had the membership list provided to you, both the Northwest Seaport Alliance memberships and then a comparison with all three organizations' memberships. So as part of the master policy, for the Northwest Seaport Alliance, you have to approve all memberships over $10,000. We've listed all of them. So American Association of Port Authority is $55,000. That's a guess because it's going to be based on our actual revenue. So it's a calculation that we provide. So we put a little bit of extra. Pacific Northway Waterway Association, again, it's a calculation based on revenue and financial performance. The Council on International Trade, the International Association of Ports and Harbors, and Green Marine. So We've won the Green Marine Award, I think, 3 years in a row. It's in the front page of the Northwest Seaport Alliance budget document, and so that's something we want to continue on doing. All the other memberships, you do see an increase, but as I mentioned, and it's on the membership list I sent you, some of the memberships were budgeted in Port of Tacoma and allocated out. We moved them directly into the Alliance. That accounts for about $15,000 of the $20,000 increase in the all other memberships under $10,000. So a lot of details on memberships. As I said, I think you have everything there, and you will be approving all memberships over $10,000. So the RCWs were not necessarily written with the thoughts of a Northwest Seaport Alliance. They really apply to home ports, but there is a rule about promotional hosting. And what is promotional hosting? It's business development. It's taking a potential client out for dinner, talking about business issues, but it's working with potential customers. And the RCWs that I've cited here require expenditure for industrial development, trade promotion, and promotional hosting to be specifically budgeted line items in the budgets. And so in the statutory budgets that we turn into the counties, at least for Port of Tacoma, I'm sure for Seattle too, we have specific line items for promotional hosting, okay? Just wanting you to know that we've included those in this budget, but we don't have to turn a statutory budget into any county, okay, being the Alliance. So the Northwest Seaport Alliance budget includes $202,438 for promotional hosting. It's essentially flat from 2019. It's just slightly down by $5,000. The statutory limit, there's a calculation in the RCWs on how you calculate your limit on promotional hosting. That calculation, if we applied it to the Northwest Seaport Alliance, is almost $400,000. You can see we're well below the statutory limit. So each home port will get halves for their own reporting. At least that's how we've done it in the past. So we've spent a lot of time talking about the capital investment plan. This is the numbers that we have, a total of $440 million in capital projects. $368 million of it is capitalized, and $72 million is included as an expense. What are you getting for that? Well, in container terminals, we're spending about $368 million. Most of that is on T5 berth modernization, right? The budget going forward for those 5 years is $260+ million. And then it quickly drops down. The next biggest line item is $18 million for T18 dock rehab. And that's just the start of the rehab out in 2024. I mentioned in our October meeting that there's more money out in outer years. And yes, that was included in the valuations when we did them for the Alliance. We're spending about $3.5 million on our non-container terminal is the proposal. Really, the biggest dollars of that $3.5 million is $2 million for a potential redesign of the EB1 yard, just reconfiguring it. That hasn't come to you for approval. Just because it's in the budget, just like any line items, just because it's in the capital investment plan, does not mean it's improved until you take action. We will come with a business case if that's something we are working on. But at this point, it's in the budget just as a placeholder. And finally, there's a lot of other projects in the budget totaling about $70 million. We've got contingency in outer years of about $28 million. And that's to cover surprise capital needs or expense needs. We've got clean air strategy of about $6.5 million in the five-year budget. We've got a clean truck program, the clean truck on top of the clean air strategy for $2.2 million. So that's what you're buying for $440 million. It's all been incorporated into the plan, operating budget. All the operating expenses are in the operating budget, and the capital hits through depreciation, and then we'll hit each home port through its funding mechanisms. So in the charter, we're required to talk about bond income calculation, and there's a minimum level of net income required for each home port to meet the bond rate covenants for bond outstanding at the time of formation of the Alliance. So as bonds are refunded, and they haven't quite refunded yet in Port of Seattle, but as Port of Seattle's bonds that were outstanding prior to 2016 are refunded, that minimum bond income will go down. But today, it's still at the $90 million level. As I've shown you, we're well above that $90 million.
How far down will it go?
Eventually, over time, if any bonds get refunded economically, it will go to zero. So any bonds issued after the formation of the alliance has been a big part of official statements. So I did not bring it with it, but Elizabeth Morrison and the Treasury team for Port of Seattle has a schedule. And, of course, you'd only refund the bonds if it made economical sense. But over time, I'm sure it will.
What's the consequence of dropping below the required bond income?
We would not provide a budget that went below the required bond income because it would violate the charter. So we'd have to delay spending.
Okay.
So because we do have the commitment to the bondholders who purchased bonds before the formation of the alliance. Or technically, the two home ports could come say they have other sources of revenue to cover, but that would be a vote by the commission to then approve that
bond. And the assets are never part of the...
No. No. Non-recourse loans.
Okay. Good.
Well, our loans are secured by the revenue that the two home ports make. So I was asked to put together this summary of historical distributable cash, and so we've provided this. These are actuals for 2016, 2017, 2018. It's a lot of numbers up here. But this is what we budgeted. This was what is actual net distributable cash in bold down here, and this is what was budgeted. And yes, we have exceeded distributable cash in all years. And Aaron and I were talking and John talking. I think the first couple of years were focused on Husky and T5. And we've moved that. I went back over the weekend and looked at, and I can show it to you if we want. It's a waterfall of budgeted programs. When we started, for example, Husky construction was already underway, but we had only had two cranes on order. And then the next year, we went to four cranes on order. And then the timing of payment for the cranes has changed over the years. And so that's a capitalized project, but that's an example of many projects have been in the budget and then waterfall over time, year after year. And finally, for example, the removal of North Harbor cranes we had in 2017, 2018, it's finally occurred in 2019 and will reoccur when we remove the cranes for T5 in 2021 timeframe. But so some of the expenses, some of the big one-time projects keep showing up in these earlier years, which is why we've seemed to have done better every year. And I showed in the October presentation, I showed you how we had done better by $66 million in net income. And this is showing that we've done better by about $55 million in cash. It's really because projects have moved and delayed, but most of those big projects that have moved and delayed are related to T5 and Husky, and those are now being done. So we should stop seeing those movements and savings when those actually occur. Because, you know, we know we have to remove the Husky cranes. We know we have to move the T5 cranes to do the second wharf. We know we have to do the public expenses for the T5 construction. So that is our history. I think the feedback I've gotten from the budget is we're going to work really much harder on timing of projects. So all the controls we have in place are about total project costs. And engineers and project managers do their best to identify the timing of when their money's going to be spent. But it's all really about if you've authorized $20 million not going 1 cent off. It isn't about we said we'd spend 10 and 10. It's more about making sure we didn't go over 20. And if you spend 5 and 15, that's okay. But we're seeing that's been causing some problems this budget. And so I think there'll be much more focus on making sure the timing's right. And we'll just do better next year. And so we've already started conversations on how we'll do that. So I'm here to request managing member approval of three things. The first thing is the 2020 operating budget, including memberships over $10,000 and the promotional hosting budget. I'm here to ask for managing member approval of the 2020 through 2024 capital investment plan. And I'll reemphasize, we'll always say it, Just because you're approving the CIP does not mean that projects are authorized. Each project will come back to you for authorization, unless it's been under the delegated authority of the chief executive officer. And we're asking for approval to distribute lease interest cash on a monthly basis consistent with distributable cash due to the changes in accounting due to GASB 87. So those are my three requests.
Excellent. Thank you. So I'm going to call for a motion that we can have discussion. So we have a motion for adoption by the managing members of the 2020 annual operating budgets.
So moved.
Second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the operating budget.
I have some questions. Thank you, David, for your hard work on this. In looking at the capital improvement project budgets amounts towards the end of your presentation here, with that grand total of $131 million and the $440 over 5 years, when I compare that number with the listing of mandatory, required, and potentially discretionary ones, the totals are different. Why is that?
Slightly different just in terms of timing of keeping all the documents in sync. I think I mentioned what changes we had made, but I think we're talking about 441 point something to 440 point something. So it's $1 million difference,
okay.
And it was just a matter of timing,
right.
of getting all the documents in sync.
Okay, and I neglected to notice that the 340 for required project was just the required, and I hadn't added the discretionary. And so when you add the two, you're pretty close there.
Yes, sir. Then. Yes, sir.
A comment. I appreciate you putting together the historical distributable cash. I mean, that's very telling, I think. We're a new organization, only been in existence for 5 years. We need to gauge trend lines, where we're going, income, expenses, and things of that sort. But I guess, and the bottom part of this kind of accentuates the need, and you pointed out, I think, to do a good job of predicting what we're actually going to spend, since our home ports are totally dependent on their budgets, the ability to have the knowledge to what the distributable cash would be. So because those differences are big numbers that we're unsure of. And we all like, of course, that we come in under budget, but then if you achieve that to too great a magnitude, then you're shortchanging the home ports who are making budget planning. So for those reasons, I really appreciate your work and John's comments about having a spring and mid-year review of where we're at, where we're going, to give the home ports in particularly the opportunity to take advantage, perhaps, of benefits that we can project. So I thank you very much for that. I had a couple other comments or questions, but I'm going to let others go forward. If
I'm going to start with Commissioner Meyer. Do you have any questions on the operating budget?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Can you hear me okay, Commissioner?
We can.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I think, John, I very much appreciate your reference to metrics and goals and those sorts of things. And but the one thing that I philosophically just have a problem with is I'm a year-over-year person. And I look at the budget as just a guide. But it's year-over-year that is important to me. And when I look at year-over-year net income between 18, 19, and 20, and I see a decrease of $29 million or 26%, that really gives me a cause for saying, wait a minute, is this really the trend line that I want to support? The other piece that I'm having difficulty to accept is the increase that I see in administration. And I've pointed this out before. It's an area that I always constantly feel that as a policymaker, I'm always concerned about the level of overhead that we have. And when I see it going from $19 million to $21 million to $24 million, that's too fast for me. And I've always had that concern, and I'll continue to have that concern because I do not support And that's one of the fundamental bedrock pieces of the alliance is the ability to control overhead. And when I see that increase, I just have a major problem with that. So I'm expressing those concerns because at this stage of the game, I'm not inclined to support the operating budget.
Okay. Any other commissioners' comments on the operating budgets? John, do you have anything you wanted to add?
I would just say, first of all, I understand and share, like probably all of you, the questions and concerns about administrative costs going up. Also, I didn't catch the first part of what Commissioner Meyer was calling. I think it was the historical net income, mm-hmm. and there's fluctuations there. I would just say that it's most helpful when I look at this to look at it in increments of maybe 5 years in terms of trend line. When we look at any one of these lines, if we see an upward trend over 5 years, then I think it's an area absolutely we need to dig into. So I appreciate that. To look at 1 year versus the next year is somewhat challenging because, as we all know, there are situations, one-time situations. David highlighted some of those as an example that hit in a given year that we have no control over. And so, again, I think it's important for us to look at these trend lines over multi-years versus year over year.
Commissioner Johnson?
John, I agree. I support the operating budget. And having run a business and been very concerned about my admin costs, I think David did an excellent job of explain why the admin costs go up, because we have a new legal counsel coming on board. We have some other things that have shifted from one department to another. So if you take a line item change there, nothing's really changed except we brought one person on board. So nothing's different change. And it's one thing to argue margin. It's another thing to argue revenue, because if the revenue goes up and down, it can go up because we have more volume. And lots of times the revenue goes down because the commissions have made a decision to make changes that drives the revenue down. Very little of that revenue decrease has been a surprise. It's been through our own decision. So if we don't like the revenue, sometimes we have to blame ourselves. Sometimes that's what's required to get various projects done, like T5 also. You'd have to take a cut in revenue in order to shut something down so you can rebuild it. So I'm very comfortable with the operating budget.
Great. Any other comments?
Yes.
Commissioner Fellowman and then McCarthy.
Well, in the previous briefing that you gave us, the PowerPoint, just as a little longer version of this one.
Yes.
I had asked you last time about in the environmental budget, it shows that the administrative increases there is due to stormwater compliance increases, increase in allocation from POS, electrification roadmap for South Harbor, and air pollution emission inventory. And I had asked about the FTE levels for this program. And were you able to track that down?
Yes, I think it's 15, but I'll get back to you. I don't have my computer open, but I think they're flat year over year.
So that there's no change in that, but about 15 staff?
Yeah, there's no change, but I will get you that number.
All right. But the and is that 15 alliance, or is that like the shared people between the ports?
It's shared through service agreements.
Yeah. So yeah. But the alliance has like a couple of full-timers?
I'm not sure that, do we? Okay. The answer is yes.
So
yes.
So 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6. I have many numbers in my head. I apologize if I didn't get you that number. We will get it to you.
All right. But the point is it's not changing, but it's, because I know you have some in-house talent, but the 12 is clearly a shared
it
burden.
Is.
And I mentioned on our last meeting last Tuesday, seems forever ago, that the headcount for the alliance is going from 58 down to 56. So in terms of administrative costs, Commissioner, I understand, and we've talked about it, it's technology projects that are driving that increase. And once those technology projects are done, we shouldn't see that increase. But they keep moving year over year.
And I will just add again, the list of administration projects that are listed there, will get further scrutiny before we move forward with them. So again, they're in the budget for good reason, because we believe we need them, yet we constantly evaluate those projects. And if we don't need it, we're not going to spend the money, so that we have more distributable cash back to the home port. So we are sensitive to that issue as well.
Great. Commissioner McCarthy?
I had three things, and I'll keep it very short, if you don't mind. But first of all, I'm hoping when we start this quarterly, or starting in the spring, discussion of this, that we are able to have conversations that we can complete. When we get real hurried, as we do in the budget process, and the 10 of us meet, one person might have one comment, another comment, but we never reach a completion of the conversation. We've never kind of determined whether we've reached a consensus on something. So I'm hoping through our discussion, we have one conversation, just for example, on capital improvement projects, or those that are there for just maintenance purposes or fix. I know, and I appreciate you have that in the budget. Hope we have one conversation just on priorities, so we can focus on one particular issue and kind of reach some sort of a consensus as how most people feel. I think that'd be helpful. Otherwise, I think it's frustrating to try to cram in a lot of the budget discussions in short order. My hope was that we, through this budget, we would be able to reduce the capital improvement project list to a level that we would not take a reduction this year in net distributable income. So I think with the $52+ million net distributable income, correct me if I'm wrong, we're about $6 million short of last year or thereabouts.
Do you mean cash or
yes.
income? Sorry, are you comparing budget or forecast? So I'm not sure which you're referring to.
Well, your forecast for 2020 as to what the net distributable income will be, how much home ports will receive as opposed to what they receive.
Sure, let's go back, Commissioner. So distributable income, original budget for 2019 was 87. We're looking at 100 million for 2019, and for 2020 it's $84 million.
Right.
But we know, for example, depreciation, non-cash, right. just right there is $4 million.
Right.
So that's part of the hurdle in the increase.
Right.
We also know that 2020 has many one-time expenses that have not occurred in 2019,
right.
some of which were budgeted in 2019.
So how much less in cash will the home ports receive, do you predict?
Between 2019 forecast and 2020 budget is $7 million, so half of $7 million to each
half,
home
right.
port.
See, my hope was that we would reduce the capital improvement project list to the extent that we have no particular reduction, and I know you're going to work to achieve that, but that was my minimum hope for this year. You don't have to comment on that if you want, but you certainly
no,
can.
No, I think then the clarity is there's two funding mechanisms.
Right.
So let's go back. The two home ports provide to the Alliance the capital needed for capitalized projects, okay? The Alliance funds expense projects through operations, okay? There's reasons for that going back to the bondholders. So when we were forming the Alliance, we wanted to make sure that fund from operations, which were supposed to flow back to the two home ports to pay the debt
right.
and the bondholders, was not diverted to doing capital projects within the Alliance, okay? So when you want to talk about reducing or improving the 2020 budget distributable cash, you would be talking about projects that hit expense. So those projects are your environmental projects, the clean air, the clean water. They're some of the one-time projects like the paving at T46, removal of two Husky cranes for $2 million, public expenses down here and non-operating to hit the permitting conditions for T5. So you'd want to look at expense projects only. And we have scrubbed those projects and certainly can provide you
a list of projects by accounting policy. We didn't feel like we should make the managing members become accountants. That how a project is accounted for is something we can provide, but we didn't provide you in that detail. But if you would like it, you can. But to try
that,
to
that really
provide
wasn't,
$7 million,
that really wasn't where I was going with my
but
comment.
But to provide $7 million more of net income, you'd go looking for things to reduce.
Right.
So when I look at it, the year over year, when we first met in October, I showed you that payroll for the Alliance was not increasing significantly. Right, we're going from 58 to 56 heads. So you're not going to get millions of dollars in reductions unless you cut many heads. So then you start saying, well, where can I make reductions? And those reductions where you can make reductions are projects. Your clean air, your clean water, your technology, your paving, your permit conditions, your crane removals. Those are the areas where you would make, I would suggest, to get $7 million, have to make major reductions.
Right. I get that.
Okay.
Just saying.
That's your hope to get there.
I hate to see us getting less money at the Alliance level. My third and final, if you don't mind, is, you know, our charter is kind of our constitution. And so I go back to the charter, and the charter, you know, says that the primary purpose is to form, establish, and support this PDA to carry out the unified management and operation of marine cargo operations. And I think what we kind of got to remember that if management and operation of marine cargo operations is the primary purpose of the Alliance, I think I question whether we're getting a field of that in terms of some of our efforts. For example, I'm not sure lobbying or all the lobbying we do, although it's important and the home ports need to do it, I'm not so sure that that's operation and management terminals as opposed to just the home ports. Some of the things we support, for example, we had a presentation at the public meeting from HistoryLink, for example, and others. Are decisions of that sort, are they management and operation of the facilities, or are they something else that the home ports should be involved in? We start taking a look at industrial development lands and what's going on in the metropolitan areas. Is that really an issue for the Alliance, or is that an issue that the home ports should discuss head on? So I think in some of our discussions this year, I'd like us to discuss how extensive we interpret management and operation of marine facilities is. And certainly the arguments can be made that they all have something to do with trade and what happens, but I'm not so sure if that was the intent of the original charter or whether we're expanding it or whether we should expand it. So I hope during our discussions we discuss that.
Okay, and I think that's a great topic for the retreat coming up in December. So right now we have a motion on the floor for I'm sorry, Commissioner Feldman?
Well, I'm talking about those things that maybe are on the edge. I just, it's slightly in joke here. On page 6-6 in the actual budget, we have a picture of a marine mammal with its head sticking up, but the caption says sea lion in Commencement Bay. It's a harbor seal.
Is it?
So let's get that right. So anyway, but that's the really important part. Actually, getting back to the charter issue.
Can we focus on the budget?
It's related to the budget.
Okay.
In the Article 6 of the charter, PDA management, officers and employees, under PDA management, it states that the PDA shall be governed by managing members who carry out this provision, by overseeing the business of the PDA is decided by the managing members in consulting with and advising, the CEO. The managing members reserve to themselves all authority granted to the PDA under state law, and I'm reading the wrong one. PDA shall be able to reimburse the managing members for all reasonable out-of-pocket expenses incurred in connection with the attendance at meetings of the managing members, including travel, lodging, and meal expenses, and per diem compensation as allowed by the RCW, which controls this. And then it goes, and as may further be determined by each managing member. And then it goes on, yada, yada, yada. So I guess I would like to get a legal read on what as may be further determined by each managing member entails, if that would be possible.
Could we vote on the budget first?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that this has potentially in a future determination that this is something that has budgetary potential implications, but would not be for this.
Okay, that's fine. So we have a motion on the table for adoption of the 2020 annual operating budget for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, nay.
No.
All right, ayes have it. Thank you. We're going to now take up, may I have a motion for the adoption of the 2020-2024 Capital Investment Plan for the Northwest Seaport Alliance.
So moved.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the Capital Investment Plan?
I'm going to vote against this one because I think we need additional input from the managing members. And not sure we've done that sufficiently with regard to the capital investment plan.
Well, I would say for the record, I'm sorry, Commissioner Johnson.
I understand what the commissioner is saying. I think from my point of view, the capital budget was put together by very intelligent people working very hard to find the best investment for our funds that would benefit the Alliance the most. And it might not be some of the things we have our heart throbbed on, but I'm totally unaware of anything that's financially better than what's on this packet. So nothing's been offered up that's financially better than what's been presented by a bunch of professionals to decide what these projects should be. I think what's best for the commissions, for the Alliance to go forward, is I think it's very difficult to do what the commissioner is talking about, sit down and go through each particular project and its cost and its ROI. I think it's best for the Alliance to sit down and say, okay, over the next 10 years, here's what I'd like to do with the Alliance and what kind of projects it has, and does it have better financial results? Because from my perspective, the only thing that's really important is the financial performance, because without finances, you can't protect employees, you can't protect the environment, you can't protect anything without proper finances. But I think it's important for it to sit down and say, here are the, because a significant number of the projects are maintenance projects. And so how do I want to expand the philosophy of my Alliance and going forward? What do I want to absorb? And I think that's true for the Port of Tacoma also. Let's sit down and talk about, here's our projects, here's what the engineers have all said, here's what the county said the performance is going to be. So what do we want to do that might be better? And sometimes you have to put the price tag on that and financial performance, and then you find out it might be your heartthrob, but it might not be better. So I think it's a lot of work. Having done that in the past, it's a lot of work to do that. So if you can't do it at a commission, I mean, you have to do that in a kind of a study plan.
Commissioner Gregoire.
I respect that, and I think CEO Wolf, we had a little bit of a conversation a couple weeks ago about thinking about how we build in, I'll call it a budget session about CIP planning a little bit earlier in the session. I think actually reflecting for a second, we're in our fifth year, and we are kind of hitting this perfect fifth year of a CIP, which really should be rolling on a fifth year. And so that is a logic as you're thinking about the business planning, as you articulated, CEO Wolf, what's logical from a business planning perspective in this industry. I think we at the Port of Seattle, in the last 2 years, I'm not saying we got it great, but we did take a really critical look at what is our waterfront CIP for the next 5 years, and how do we have an annual conversation about how that needs to be adjusted. We settled on categories of projects. How do we think about asset preservation? How do we think about investing in the finances for the future? What are the environmental impacts? And by using some of those, I'll call it project categories, in my view, we stayed as board members. We didn't think ourselves project managers of CIP projects, but we enabled to have a conversation, all right, are we balanced in this portfolio? And I'm very sensitive to making sure that we're striking our ability to provide some strategic feedback, but by no means do I want to become a project manager of the next terminal paving initiative. And so ensuring that we've got that in a room at the right strategic level helps inform. What I will say, it was still exceedingly difficult last year, but it actually put a framework around how we could start giving feedback. I think there's a different way to do it for the Seaport Alliance, given, you know, the articulated charter as we thought about it, but there's a way to do that. The piece that I would want for us going forward is I respect how the team here, in my view, did the right I'll call it appropriate balanced budgeting exercise to ensure we were taking care of the maintenance that we need and investing in our future. But we drew a line that left some projects off the table that may have made sense for some managing members to say, well, wait a minute, what is the, I'll call it opportunity cost of not investing in that now? What happens when we punt that 2 years down the road? How much more expensive does that get? And so enabling that conversation, I think, means doing more than drawing a line in the sand and saying this is where the recommendation from executive is. It means, listen, we had to make some hard calls, but let us make sure that we explain to you this may be more cost down the road. I think both of those things need to be reflected in the process going forward. Of course, I can say that from the cheap seats. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about it.
Commissioner Steinbrück.
I thought where we left things at the last meeting, budget meeting of the Alliance, was that we would hear a report back from the Tacoma Port on financial position with regard to supportability of the so-called discretionary list of, I think, 100 million was in that list, approximately. And in the interest of trying to help prioritize and to reach an area or level of agreement over what we reasonably could spend, and I didn't hear back on that. I also think that with regard to whether it's mislabeled or not, the discretionary capital projects list, that some additional sort of delineation as to what the higher priorities are with regard to a set of principles or criteria that we look at such as asset management, cost more if we don't do it now, may be good but not critical, those or something of that nature, so that we have some ability, and I do have faith in our staff also to make those judgments, but when we're just looking at a long laundry list, even if they're put into subcategories, it's still hard to know what room is there to make some adjustments, especially if it is overly financially impactful to one of the home ports to commit to the full list.
Commissioner Meyer, do you have any comments on the capital budget?
Yes, I do, and thank you. That last question, I think, is a very important question, because when I looked at the home port budget and when I looked at the Alliance budget, because I kind of view them as being together but apart, and I think that's always a learning curve for us. Every year it seems to be that we go through this process with very little time to really talk about it. But my comment back to the question of the home port, I have a real problem with, as an example, the fact that the Port of Tacoma's budget has $15.6 million in it for a 10,000-foot rail extension. And when John was talking about trying to improve the efficiency of the corridor, I support that 10,000-foot rail extension, but I don't think it's appropriate that it's in the Port of Tacoma budget. It should be in the Alliance. And the reason, my rationale on this is when I look at T5 and the off-site rail improvements we're making, this item belongs in the Alliance budget. And we can't afford $15.6 million for that track because of some other priorities. So that I'm just giving you specific feedback on a particular project. And my frustration here is we've not had time, and I apologize because I'm not there, but we have not had time to kind of review some of those issues like that. And at this stage of the game, the comment is that, well, we've got to check on this policy. Well, the fact of the matter is we're acting on these policies right today and making decisions. And I have a real problem with our project listing process. I think it's very confusing. It's not in what I consider to be policy-making decision modules, so you can't adjust the budget. Right now, it's a vote either up or down, and that's it. Well, okay, I guess if I got to express my opinion, that's one of the items I would express an opinion on, and it's very frustrating to me. And so that's where I'm at. So my feedback on the question of home port, how did you view it, and what feedback we would have, there's one project there that's a lot of money. And at this stage of the game, it's pretty obvious to me, nobody everybody's going to, you know, support it as, yeah, this is it, can't do anything else. But if, when I don't accept the fact that it's in the wrong place. So that's my feedback.
Commissioner Meyer, thank you so much. Commissioner Johnson, in just a moment, I'll turn to you, sir. I need to ask, John, could you or somebody else on staff, I've heard two comments so far about very little time to talk about the budget. I need to push back. I'd like to get some better understanding or just some historical information about when we started our budget conversations. And I'm not talking about when the Port of Tacoma started its budget conversations. That's your business. But with the Alliance, we've had these documents out for several weeks. John, correct me if I'm wrong.
David, maybe you can give more.
The first draft of the budget document and the presentation went out on October 11th.
October 11th?
Yes.
So 5 weeks ago.
And then we met, I think, October 27th, 28th?
29th.
29th, okay.
Okay. So it's been a month. It's...
If I can add to that, I think it's important. If you have a commission, if you have three votes on your side, you can kind of get anything you want to get. But if you don't have the three votes, you can't get what you want to get. The budget process is the budget process. It isn't necessarily an evaluation of the capital list. The capital list comes up every year. We go through the same thing. We have a list of placeholders. I think it's important for us all to remember. Those items are not authorized. You can put $20 million on Project A in the budget, but that doesn't mean we're going to spend a dime on that budget. It's a placeholder. So all that does is identify a certain amount of dollars for both the Seaport Alliance and for the Port of Tacoma and the Port of Seattle, how much money they have. And those monies can be met by giving up other projects. So to sit and evaluate individual projects, that's a strategic plan process. That's not a budgetary process. So in the budgetary process, we're trying to identify a total amount of money, and we list those projects that are put together by the engineering staff and the management staff of what, in their point of view, is the best thing for the port to do, using the guidelines that they've been given. And we can agree on a particular item, we can disagree on a particular item, but that's a different discussion. When that project comes up for authorization, that's the time that you can agree or disagree.
I would add to that, Commissioner Meyer, I am absolutely, this is Commissioner Bowman, I'm absolutely open to having a discussion about the $15 million investment in the rail at the Port of Tacoma. But I think that, again, I think as Commissioner Johnson is pointing out, this is a five-year CIP. All of these projects have to come back and be authorized at a different time. So I am completely open to that conversation for what it's worth.
If I could, I'd just like to make a comment. First of all, I'm very appreciative of Peter's asking that question. The other piece is you know, we talked about a spring preview kind of a process. Well, the reality is we need to spend more time talking about our criteria, whatever that is, and because I'm not convinced we have the right criteria. So I look forward to improving our process. And I'm just trying to give you feedback relative to one example of what I think is misplaced. That's all.
I think we all agree that it's a perfect time to review the criteria. Commissioner Petrich.
Great. Thank you very much. I just wanted to respond also to Peter's question, and I agree with the comments about our opportunity to vote up or down on any capital project that's coming forward. So I don't think that's a issue or a topic that we need to address from the budgetary aspect. So in response to your question, yes, we had a very robust conversation at our meeting about the Tacoma, Port of Tacoma budget for the coming year. And yet, while the question was asked, there actually was not any specific responses on the part of commissioners to specific projects that they really had identified with a certain amount of money that where they needed to see that there. So,
well, Commissioner Marzano.
Yeah, just a quick comment, because I too, along with what Don Myers talked about, I think that we realize that, like Commissioner Johnson said, these are all projects that will be coming forward to us where we can have a dialogue. And Commissioner Bowman, I appreciate those comments. One of the things we in Tacoma haven't done yet, we're going to be going through a strategic plan. So the reality is that what we really want to do, I don't think, is defined just yet. So how do you determine we need X amount of dollars when you don't know for sure what you're going to be doing? So I think based on what I see as distributor cash and what we're moving right now, I can support this because the fact of the matter is, as we get into our strategic plan, as we
welcome two new commissioners to get involved with that. We're going to make determinations of what we want to see the Port of Tacoma to become. And with that will come a dollar sign decided. And then we'll be more defined on being able to answer that question.
Great point.
Commissioner Bowman?
I agree.
I think it brings up the question, really, the sequencing, though, in terms of, you know, who goes first, you know, in the budgeting process. What does the home port feel is necessary once we know your strategic plan? What do you want to allocate? And is it basically the alliance needs this amount to move forward? And so it just means where that truly discretionary line is drawn, you can choose to put off a maintenance thing, even if it's going to be more expensive later, if indeed it allows you to do something else. I mean, so I just think we're pulling these together concurrently. And so I have the sense that the alliance sort of has a need, and we sort of budget around that more than looking at the home port's immediate needs. We have the five-year plan. We have things that we want to do. But any given year, obviously, not everything moved as expected. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, you know, who puts the pick in the ground first is sort of the...
Well, I think to Commissioner Marzano's point, we really welcome your strategic plan and the results of that. And I think we're unfamiliar with when that's going to be completed, so would love to hear at some point.
It'll start in January.
The process. And, you know, it occurred to me after our pretty challenging meeting last week, it was only a week ago, that this is the first year that the Port of Tacoma has a truly, completely independent executive director. For the last first years of the alliance, John had both hats. And so now you have a completely independent executive director with his own ideas about what he wants the Port of Tacoma to be. And we have new commissioners that will be joining you with their own ideas. So, yes, it's a bit of a struggle this year. Everything with the alliance, we've created it out of scratch. It's not perfect. I think this alignment issue is something we need to bring up in the retreat. But we really look forward to your strategic plan and figuring out, as you said, Commissioner Marzano, what you want to be and how much it's going to cost. So we struggle with that, the Port of Seattle as well. All right, any other comments? Commissioner McCarthy.
I've got a comment on the timing. Is essentially, we had our work session on October 29th, and it's November 12th. So 15 days to cut our teeth on a budget, try to make comment. Most of it is the work session is understanding it and getting an explanation. In the 30-plus years of government service I've been involved in, I've never been in a 15-day budget process. And I know this meeting was scheduled forward. It was supposed to be in a couple of days from now, I think, which would have given us a couple more days. And in terms of Commissioner Fellman's comment about sequencing, I think we didn't focus on that railroad property, Commissioner Meyer did, until we met on November 7th. So this has all been crammed, if you will, together over, you know, roughly 3 weeks. And I think what we're all saying is we can do better. We can do better than that. Because Commissioner Steinbrück's had a good question, because from our last meeting, we were going to, okay, what's Tacoma think? And we had a good discussion, but we didn't complete the discussion. We had some discussion about property acquisition. We had some discussion on the railroad, but we didn't complete it. Because a lot of our conversations, you know, people make a comment, but you never complete your discussion if a good part of it is related to the presentation that you're considering. So timing-wise, I just needed to comment that the time has been inadequate, and so I look forward to expanded conversation.
Thank you for your opinion. I don't share that opinion. I believe that when we received the budget documents on October 11th, that's the day that I start reading them. And then I wait for the staff presentation to ask my questions.
Well, part of the problem is you have 125 capital projects on the list, and you want to sit down and review 125 capital projects, that's going to take a few minutes.
Right.
That's been my experience. And then I don't see the commission up for more than about three, if you want to be really honest, from my perspective. I'm not going to be here. So you can sit down and review 125 projects next year, I'll come and watch.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor for adoption of the 2020-2024 Capital Investment Plan for the Northwest Seaport Alliance. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay.
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 Ayes have it. Thank you. And last but not least, may I have a motion for adoption of the 2020 Lease Interest Cash Distribution Policy.
So this is the one where we get money?
Yeah.
So we get the money?
Yeah.
I'll move this one.
Excellent.
I'll second that, too.
Moved and seconded.
I would triple that.
Any comments?
Commissioner, can I ask a clarifying question?
Of course.
This is just a policy statement. It isn't necessarily saying that it has any quantities, in the amounts by year in it?
That correct?
I don't have it in front of me. So I'm assuming it's just a policy statement consistent with our charter, but based upon what David said, given the accounting change.
That's it, Commissioner. It's when we did the charter change earlier this year, we thought the cash flow from GASB 87 would remain in operating cash flow. Now that we've gone through the GASB 87 and gone through it, it flows to non-op, so it violates the definition of distributable cash in the charter. So we don't want to make any more changes to the charter right now. I'm just looking for policy from the commissioners to be able to distribute that cash in addition to distributable cash as defined in the charter.
I love cash, and cash I can vote on something. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Excellent. So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of adoption of the lease interest cash distribution policy, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay.
Aye.
Fabulous. Ayes have it. Thank you. All right. So we're going to move on to general business. Any comments? Let's start over with Commissioner Steinbrück.
No.
No? Commissioner McCarthy.
No.
Commissioner Coleman.
I would like to have that at least have the question asked about the what are deemed appropriate reimbursables for managing members. The language I started to read, I guess at the wrong time, but the term of art for the charter, as I said, it's Article 6, 6.1B, and so the question becomes as may be further determined by each managing member. So
is there an issue, Fred?
Okay, let's.
Well, for example, for today, we've had two meetings, right? One Seaport meeting, one Port of Seattle meeting. I believe both of these are billed against the Port of Seattle. So and they would be it's one reimbursement, and so my understanding is that there was going to be some analysis on the general allocation of how reimbursements occur between the home ports and the alliance in general. And
Carolyn, I thought, do you have a quick comment on this? And then it sounds like something we should probably take offline to get a little more detail. Quickly.
I do. What we're investigating, what we're looking into is this exact issue. And state law says that if you're a member of two different special purpose districts, then you can only collect your per diem from one of those districts. However, when the charter was drafted, we took that into consideration because the law also says that if you adopt by resolution, you can adopt by resolution the ability to collect per diem for the board. And so that section 6.1B talks about is the authority for managing commissions on the two managing members to collect the additional per diem compensation. So what we're doing now is just we want to look at that and run it by, make sure that our interpretation of how that's to be applied is correct, in which case that could open up an additional per diem. The other thing you have to watch out for is that the Constitution says that any increase in compensation cannot be effective for the term of the commissioners who voted on that increase. That increase, or the potential for that increase policy was adopted in 2015, which means all of you have already sat for elections since 2015 and would be eligible if this applies as we think it does.
Okay, great.
And the question I had was like the per diem compensation as specified in the RCW, mm-hmm. and then it has this qualifier, and as may further be. That to me just.
Right.
We're
going to take this. We're taking this offline. I'm sorry. It's a conversation for offline.
Yeah,
thank you for raising it.
Just wanted to have that. Yeah.
Commissioner Meyer, do you have any final comments? I think he dropped off. Yeah, Commissioner Petrich.
Closing time, and he only had 10 minutes left to order.
We heard a lot of zippers.
The birds are flying.
I've just been observing during this meeting, particularly.
how many questions are coming up about the past 5 years. And I'm just wondering if we might want to consider, and I'd ask my co-managing members to think about this so that when we come together next time around, we might want to say, how do we evaluate how well the Alliance has been working? What's been working really well? What are the things we want to do to change? How might that influence what we do next year and in the next 5 years? Because we're here for the long haul. You know, this Alliance is here. We've got a 20-year life to it. And I think it would be great for us to be able to evaluate how well we're doing. So I'm tossing that out there.
And we have some pretty important exit interviews to do.
Oh, all right, Commissioner Johnson.
I agree with what Claire said. I think it's important when we form the Alliance, the basic reason we formed the Alliance is to decide who we're going to compete with. And it's not each other. Everything else is kind of trivial compared to that.
Yeah.
You know, whether we have green forklifts or red forklifts, who cares? The issue is we can't buy each other's business, which we've been doing for 50 years. And that's the sole reason for the Seaport Alliance. We can become more effective in a lot of ways, but the reason is we got to compete with Canada and California. We can't compete with Seattle and Tacoma. And it's straight. I don't know why people keep asking that question, because we forget the basic purpose. And that's one of the purposes. And I only have a couple meetings left, but I've enjoyed my time with the Seaport Alliance, and wish you guys all the best.
Oh, we've got another meeting.
I know.
Yeah, you're not going any place.
I got to sign.
Apparently, he's phoning in for that one. I just wanted to make a comment about some process stuff this fall that has, I think, gone really well, which is committee work. I have had the chance to sit on the internal governance, the legal search, legal review committee, audit. One other that's escaping me right now.
I'm going to get older.
But I will say that for a 10-member board, that is a very agile way to conduct some business that we need to keep advancing. And I would suggest that for the two matters that Commissioner McCarthy and Commissioner Feldman raised, that's an excellent way to get the work to the sort of one-yard line, to use a McCarthy favorable football metaphor for that. And I think we should be thinking about that for the capital budget, for things like our own bylaws. We should consider that, too.
You used a football metaphor. Sorry, I forget a game like last night. It's going to be really exciting.
Commissioner
Gregoire? I'm good.
Okay.
I just want to thank David and his entire staff for all the work and hours they put in. They did an excellent job.
Can I just one other point? Following up on Ryan's point, I did recall when we were talking about committees that there wasn't a discussion about any sort of environmental committee. And when asked what I would do, I will continue to serve on Maritime Blue and do my greening of port-related activities. But I just noted that it wasn't deemed as a... We have an E&S committee at the Port of Seattle that could potentially take on some more broad environmentally-related things to the Port of Tacoma. And we are doing some of the electrification and stuff. But I just guess I would think that as long as we have environmental goals in the charter and expenses in the budget, that we might want to have some oversight of the managing members in this regard.
Can I just pop in real
quick? Yes.
I agree with both things that Commissioner Feldman said. One, environmental issues in the budget is a conversation we didn't get a chance to complete. So having a committee, I think that's a perfect opportunity. I also think you're question regarding compensation is a little legitimate question that needs to be asked, and so I thank you for bringing both of those forward.
Excellent. Okay, well, with that, we are adjourned at 3:25. Thank you.